Hey everyone, welcome back to Blog Byte, the podcast that turns the best engineering blogs, from around the web into bite-sized audio deep dives.
I like it.
So today we're diving into the world of AI hardware, and more specifically, how to get the most out of your GPU investment.
Okay.
We'll be exploring a blog post by Jitendra Agarwal,
okay,
an ML platform lead at Netflix, who's got some really insightful thoughts on maximizing what he calls the compute ROI flywheel.
Sounds interesting.
But before we get to the flywheel itself,
Yeah.
let's start with the basics. Why are GPUs so crucial in the AI landscape?
You know, it really boils down to their parallel processing prowess,
Okay.
which makes them ideal for the heavy lifting that AI demands from, you know, training complex models to running them in real time for prediction.
It's like having a team of super efficient workers all tackling a complex puzzle at once. Right? Instead of a single worker trying to do it piece by piece.
Yeah, exactly. And the scale we're talking about is immense.
Okay.
Think about training large language models like the ones that are powering chatbots. These operations can involve thousands of GPUs crunching terabytes of data for weeks on end.
Wow.
It's no wonder that companies are investing billions in securing these resources.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to imagine the sheer scale of these operations. But
yep.
As with anything this powerful, there are bound to be challenges.
Absolutely. Managing GPUs isn't a walk in the park.
Right.
Agarwal highlights a few key hurdles. First, there's the cost factor. GPUs are expensive to buy and to operate.
Yeah.
And any wasted time translates to wasted money.
Makes sense.
Then there's the limited supply issue. The global chip shortage has impacted everything, and GPUs are no exception.
Right.
So this means potential delays in getting the hardware that you need, which can really throw a wrench into project timelines and, you know, even impact team morale.
So it's not just about having the GPUs, it's about using them wisely, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strategic element here that can really make or break your AI initiative.
Precisely. And that's where this concept of GPU ROI becomes critical.
Okay.
Agarwal argues that we need to move beyond simple metrics like, you know, just average throughput and cost.
There's a more nuanced approach needed.
Okay.
One that considers the entire life cycle of AI development and deployment.
So how do we actually measure GPU ROI in a way that really captures this bigger picture?
Agarwal breaks it down into a simple formula: throughput plus developer productivity divided by cost.
Okay.
So it's about balancing the returns. You get things like the quality of your models.
Okay.
How fast your developers can work, the speed at which you can deliver impact against the investments you make.
Oh, right.
Which could include things like those high-end GPUs, the engineering time it takes for workflows and management, and even the time spent on improving efficiency.
So it's not just about the raw processing power of the hardware. It's about how effectively that hardware is being utilized across the entire AI workflow.
Exactly. And that leads us to the heart of Agarwal's framework, the compute ROI flywheel.
Ooh, a flywheel.
Yeah. He uses this analogy of a flywheel, where small improvements in one area can create momentum that drives improvement across the entire system. I love that analogy. It really paints a vivid picture of how these seemingly small improvements can compound over time and lead to significant gains in efficiency and ROI.
Exactly.
So how does it actually work, and how can it help organizations get the most out of their GPU investments?
Agarwal breaks the flywheel down into five key stages: invest, optimize, tune, boost, and minimize.
Five stages.
Each stage has specific actions, metrics to track, and desired outcomes. He argues that by continuously optimizing each of these stages, organizations can achieve long-term ROI on their GPU infrastructure and scale their AI capabilities effectively.
Yeah.
It's all about creating a virtuous cycle of continuous improvement.
Okay, I'm ready to dive into those stages.
Yeah.
Let's start with invest. What does this stage entail? What are the key considerations when organizations are making those initial investments in GPU infrastructure?
Well, the invest stage is all about strategic planning.
Okay.
You need to forecast your GPU needs, align your capacity with your current and your future ambitions, and consider things like the complexity of the models you'll be working with. The scale of your data, the project roadmap.
Yeah.
It's not just about buying the shiniest, most powerful GPU on the market. It's about making informed decisions that align with your needs and goals.
So it's about avoiding that shiny object syndrome and really thinking strategically about which GPUs will deliver the best value for your specific use cases.
Exactly. And this requires careful consideration of the balance between cost and performance.
Right.
High-end GPUs like the NVIDIA H100 that Agarwal mentions offer incredible capacity and power, but they come with a hefty price tag.
Of course.
It's about finding that sweet spot for your organization, the GPUs that deliver the performance you need without breaking the bank.
It's a classic balancing act, for sure.
It is.
But once you've made those investments, how do you ensure that you're getting the most bang for your buck?
Well, that's where the optimize stage comes in.
Optimize.
You got it. Optimize is all about maximizing the utilization of those GPUs, making sure they're rarely, if ever, sitting idle. This involves implementing efficient scheduling systems, leveraging batch processing, setting up multi-node configurations with, you know, effective checkpointing mechanisms.
Yeah.
It's all about creating this smooth, continuous workflow where those GPUs are working around the clock.
So it's about squeezing every ounce of value out of those expensive GPUs, making sure they're working as hard as possible, as often as possible.
Exactly.
Sounds like there's a lot to consider in this stage.
There is. And to track your progress, you really need to focus on key metrics like GPU occupancy rate, which measures the percentage of time your GPUs are actively working.
Right.
The idle capacity percentage, which tracks how much time they're underutilized.
Okay.
And the job wait time, which indicates how long tasks are waiting for available GPUs. By optimizing these metrics, you can achieve faster task completion,
okay,
reduce those frustrating bottlenecks, and increase the overall throughput, and ultimately lead to smoother project timelines.
It's like a well-oiled machine where everything is running smoothly and efficiently, minimizing waste, maximizing output. That makes perfect sense. But can we go even deeper than this?
Yeah.
I mean, optimizing at this high level is great, but is there a way to fine-tune things even further?
You're thinking like a true optimizer, and the answer is yes, we can go deeper. And that's where the tune stage comes in, and that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
But we'll save that for after the break.
Sounds good. We'll be back in a moment.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Blog Byte. Before the break, we were exploring how to squeeze every ounce of performance out of your GPUs. And I think it's time to shift gears from that high-level optimization to something a bit more granular.
Yeah. You're right. It's time for the tune stage where we really delve into that nitty-gritty of workflow optimization.
Okay.
Think of it like fine-tuning a high-performance engine. We're going to make sure that each GPU is delivering peak performance.
So instead of just looking at that big picture, we're going under the hood, tinkering with the engine to get that extra boost in performance.
Exactly. Agrawal highlights techniques like data parallelism, where you split your data across multiple GPUs to process it faster. Then there's pipeline parallelism, which streamlines the execution of tasks across those GPUs. And let's not forget about using optimized libraries like PyTorch 2.x,
okay,
which are designed to take full advantage of those GPU capabilities.
It sounds like we're going beyond just hardware management and diving into the realm of software and algorithms. It's about making sure that your code and your data pipelines are really working in harmony with those powerful GPUs.
Precisely. And the impact can be significant by optimizing at the tensor core level. You can process more data, train larger models, and achieve better results in a fraction of the time. It's like going from a regular car to a race car.
Okay.
You're still using the same roads, but you're covering more ground in less time.
Okay, that analogy really drives the point home.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about speed here, are we? It's about efficiency and ultimately ROI.
Right, it's about working smarter, not harder. That brings us to the next stage of the flywheel boost. This stage shifts the focus from the hardware and the software to the human element boosting developer productivity.
Okay, makes sense. Even with the most powerful hardware and perfectly tuned workflows, you still need those talented engineers to make the magic happen.
Absolutely. And by optimizing those previous stages, invest, optimize, and tune, you've created an environment where developers can truly thrive.
Right.
Faster, more efficient workflows means they spend less time waiting for resources or battling those bottlenecks.
Makes sense.
They can focus more on innovation, problem solving, and creating those cutting edge AI solutions.
It's about removing those frustrating roadblocks, giving them the tools they need, and letting them do what they do best, create and innovate.
Precisely. And the benefits extend beyond individual developers by increasing the velocity of your teams. You're accelerating the pace at which projects can be delivered, leading to greater business impact, faster time to market, and a much happier and more productive team.
It's a win-win situation for everyone. The organization benefits from faster innovation, the developers benefit from a more streamlined and productive work environment, and ultimately, the end users benefit from those amazing AI-powered solutions.
Exactly. Now we've covered four stages of the compute ROI flywheel, focusing on investment optimization, fine-tuning, and boosting developer productivity.
Right.
But there's one final stage that often gets overlooked, and it's all about minimizing waste and squeezing every last drop of value out of those GPU investments.
Okay.
It's the minimize stage, and it's just as crucial as the others.
All right, let's dive into this minimize stage.
Yeah.
What does it entail, and what are some of the key strategies that organizations can implement to make sure those expensive GPUs are never just sitting around collecting dust?
Minimizing idle time is the name of the game here. And Agrawal offers some really insightful strategies for achieving this first. Efficient scheduling systems play a crucial role. By right-sizing compute and allocating those high-end GPUs for the most demanding tasks, you can then reassign lower priority jobs to less powerful GPUs. This ensures that every machine in your infrastructure is operating at its full potential, minimizing waste and maximizing efficiency.
So it's about matching the right tool for the job, ensuring that those high-end GPUs aren't being wasted on tasks that could be handled by less powerful and potentially less expensive hardware.
Exactly. It's about being resourceful and maximizing the value of every investment. And that brings us to another key strategy, repurposing idle hardware.
Okay.
Instead of letting those GPUs gather dust when they're not being used for those high priority tasks, organizations can find creative ways to utilize them.
Right.
Think about using them for less demanding tasks or even for non-AI workloads.
Makes sense.
It's about getting the most out of your investment even during those downtimes.
So it's like having a versatile workforce that can adapt to different tasks and workloads, ensuring that everyone is always contributing and no one is sitting idle. It sounds like a really smart approach,
yeah.
But how do you actually put this into practice?
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to talk about these strategies, but implementing them effectively can be a challenge.
You're absolutely right. And that's why Agrawal emphasizes the importance of a holistic approach. He provides a series of practical tips that organizations can implement across that entire AI lifecycle, starting with something called hardware benchmarking.
Okay, benchmarking. I've heard the term thrown around a lot, but I'm not entirely sure what it entails. Why is it so important, and how do you go about doing it effectively?
Think of benchmarking like taking your GPUs for a test drive.
Okay.
It's about understanding their strengths and weaknesses, how they perform under different workloads, and how they handle different types of data.
Okay.
It helps you match the right GPU to the right task, ensuring that you're not overspending on hardware that's more powerful than you need, or conversely, trying to run demanding workloads and GPUs that just can't keep up.
So it's like doing your research before you buy a car. You wouldn't just buy the first car you see on the lot, would you?
Exactly.
You test drive a few different models, compare their features, and choose the one that best suits your needs.
Exactly. And the same principle applies to GPUs. You need to benchmark them to understand their performance characteristics and make informed decisions about how to allocate them across your AI workloads.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. But how do you actually go about benchmarking these GPUs?
Yeah.
Are there specific tools or techniques that you can use?
There are. Agrawal recommends running standardized tests on different GPU models to get a baseline understanding of their throughput, memory usage, and power efficiency for your specific workflows.
Okay.
And he emphasizes that you shouldn't benchmark in isolation. You need to consider the entire ecosystem, your data pipeline, the model framework you're using, and even your network architecture. These factors can all impact performance, so it's crucial to see the big picture.
So it's not just about the GPUs themselves. It's about understanding how they interact with all the other components in your AI infrastructure. It's about seeing the forest, not just the trees.
Exactly. Once you have those benchmarks, you can use them to make informed decisions about which GPUs are best suited for specific tasks. Maybe you dedicate your high-end GPUs to those heavy-duty training jobs and use lower-tier GPUs for inference tasks, which tend to be less demanding.
Yeah.
It's about strategic allocation of resources based on data-driven insights.
Okay, so we've got our benchmarks. We're allocating GPUs strategically. What's the next step in this optimization journey?
The next step is utilization tracking. You've invested in these powerful GPUs. You want to make sure they're not just sitting there twiddling their thumbs.
Right.
Real-time monitoring of GPU utilization is crucial for identifying bottlenecks and spotting any underutilized machines. It's like keeping a close eye on your workforce, making sure everyone is pulling their weight and contributing to the overall goal.
It's about making sure that those expensive GPUs are earning their keep, that they're not just sitting idle, wasting precious resources. It sounds like a no-brainer. But I bet a lot of organizations overlook this crucial step.
You're absolutely right. And that's why Agrawal emphasizes that you can't improve what you don't measure.
Right.
Monitoring dashboards are your best friend here.
Yeah.
You want dashboards that track key real-time metrics like GPU occupancy rate, memory usage, and idle capacity.
Right.
This gives you a clear picture of how your GPUs are performing and where there might be room for improvement.
So it's about having that visibility into your GPU usage, seeing those real-time metrics, and being able to spot those potential bottlenecks before they become major problems.
Precisely. And don't just focus on the present. Analyze historical usage patterns to spot trends like peak demand periods or recurring bottlenecks. It's about learning from the past to optimize the future. And don't forget about alerts.
Okay.
Set up automated alerts to notify your team when GPU usage dips below optimal levels or exceeds capacity. It's like having a watchful guardian looking out for any potential issues and alerting you before they escalate.
So it's about being proactive, not reactive. It's about having those systems in place to monitor, analyze, and alert you so you can address those issues before they impact your AI workloads.
Exactly. And there are some fantastic tools out there to help with utilization tracking. There are open source tools like Prometheus and Grafana that offer powerful monitoring and visualization capabilities. And of course, cloud providers like AWS and Azure have their own monitoring dashboards like CloudWatch and Azure Monitor that can provide detailed insights into GPU performance.
So we've benchmarked our hardware, we're tracking utilization.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step in optimizing GPU compute?
Right-sizing jobs.
Right-sizing.
It's all about finding that sweet spot between over-provisioning and under-provisioning.
Okay.
Too many GPUs for a task leads to waste, and too few can slow everything down.
It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're looking for the porridge that's just right, the amount of GPU power that's perfect for the task at hand.
That's a great analogy. And to find that perfect balance, you need to make sure that each task is getting the resources it needs, no more and no less.
Okay.
One of Agarwal's suggestions is to move major workloads to a batch processing setup in a shared cluster.
Uh-huh.
Rather than relying on dedicated interactive mode machines, this approach fosters better resource utilization and prevents those GPUs from sitting idle waiting for something to do.
So it's about sharing resources strategically rather than siloing them off and potentially creating those bottlenecks we're trying to avoid.
Exactly. To determine the right amount of resources for each job profiling tools are invaluable. These tools analyze the resource needs of different workloads, allowing you to categorize jobs by their complexity and assign the appropriate GPUs based on your benchmarks.
So it's about understanding the needs of each task, profiling those tasks, understand the resource requirements,
right,
and then matching them to the right GPU profile based on those benchmarks we talked about earlier. It sounds like a very data-driven approach.
Yeah,
it is. And to prevent overallocation and ensure fair distribution of resources across teams, implementing flexible quotas or policies can be incredibly helpful. It's like setting up guidelines to ensure that everyone has access to the resources they need without creating unnecessary bottlenecks or overspending.
So it's about having those guardrails in place to make sure that resources are being used responsibly and effectively across the entire organization.
Exactly. And there are some clever practices you can implement here. For example, you could assign older GPUs to lighter tasks like inference or pre-processing, while reserving those high-end GPUs for the more demanding jobs, like large-scale training and fine-tuning. It's like having different levels of workers each specialize for specific tasks, ensuring that you're using the right tool for the job and maximizing the value of each GPU in your infrastructure.
Okay, so we've benchmarked, we're tracking, we're right-sizing what's next in our optimization journey. Is there anything else we could do to squeeze that extra performance out of our GPUs?
Yeah, absolutely. The next step is workflow tuning. This is where we go beyond just managing the hardware and start looking at the software and processes that run on those GPUs. It's about fine-tuning every aspect of the workflow to achieve peak performance.
Okay. I'm all ears. What kind of workflow tuning are we talking about here?
This is where we dive deep into the code, the algorithms, and the data pipelines to really squeeze the most performance out of those GPUs. Agarwal highlights the importance of using libraries and frameworks that are optimized for GPU performance.
Okay.
Think PyTorch 2.x, TensorFlow XLA, or NVIDIA TensorArt. These tools are designed to take full advantage of GPU capabilities.
So it's about choosing the right tools for the job. It's about making sure that the software you're using is specifically designed to work in harmony with your GPU infrastructure.
Precisely. And don't underestimate the power of parallelism techniques.
Okay.
Data parallelism, pipeline parallelism, and tensor parallelism. These techniques can significantly boost performance by distributing computations efficiently across multiple GPUs.
It's like having a well-coordinated team where everyone is working in sync, maximizing their output and achieving those goals much faster than they could individually.
Exactly. And just like with any team, communication is key in the world of GPUs. That communication comes in the form of data loading pipelines. Make sure those pipelines are optimized so your GPUs aren't sitting idle waiting for data to process.
Okay.
It's ensuring a smooth flow of materials to the factory floor, keeping those machines running at full capacity.
So it's about removing those bottlenecks, those points of friction, and making sure that the data is flowing smoothly to those hungry GPUs, keeping them fed and happy.
Exactly. And for those who really want to get into the weeds, optimizing at the kernel level can yield some impressive performance gains. Think fine-tuning CityU kernels for maximum GPU utilization. It's like getting your hands dirty under the hood, fine-tuning the engine for that extra boost in performance.
So there are different levels of optimization here. You can start with those high-level strategies like benchmarking and utilization tracking. Then you can dive deeper into workflow tuning, optimizing those libraries and data pipelines. And for those who really want to push the boundaries, you can get into the nitty-gritty of kernel-level optimization. It's like a journey, starting with those foundational practices and gradually moving towards those more advanced techniques as you gain experience and expertise.
I like how you framed that it's a journey of continuous improvement, and it's a journey that every AI organization should be on.
Okay, so we've tackled benchmarking, utilization tracking, right-sizing, and workflow tuning. What's the final piece of this GPU optimization puzzle? What else can we do to ensure that we're getting the most out of those valuable investments?
The final piece of the puzzle is capacity planning. This is all about ensuring you have the right amount of GPU resources to meet your current and future needs without overspending or creating unnecessary bottlenecks.
So it's about looking ahead, anticipating those future demands, and planning accordingly. But how do you go about forecasting accurately in a field as dynamic as AI? I mean, it's not like you can predict the future with perfect certainty.
You're right. Predicting the future is impossible, but we can learn from the past.
Okay.
Agarwal highlights the importance of analyzing historical usage data by examining past usage patterns. You can identify trends, anticipate those peak demand periods, and make more informed decisions about scaling your resources. It's like studying weather patterns to predict future storms.
Right.
You might not get it perfect every time, but you can definitely improve your chances of being prepared.
So it's about being proactive, not reactive. It's about using those past trends to guide your future planning and making sure you have the resources in place to handle those anticipated demands.
Exactly. And that leads us to another important concept, dynamic scaling. This is the ability to adapt to changing demands, scaling your resources up or down as needed.
Right. It's about having that flexibility and agility to respond to those ebbs and flows in demand without being caught off guard.
Precisely. Think about it this way. During those periods of peak demand, when your AI workloads are really pushing those GPUs to the limit, you can spin up additional cloud-based GPUs to handle the surge. Then when things calm down, you can scale those resources back down, optimizing your costs and preventing unnecessary overspending.
So it's about having that elasticity in your infrastructure, that ability to expand and contract as needed to meet those fluctuating demands.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really smart approach, but I imagine there are some complexities involved in managing a dynamic infrastructure like that.
There are, but the benefits often outweigh the challenges, especially when you consider the alternative being stuck with a fixed infrastructure that can't adapt to those changing demands. That's why Agarwal also emphasizes the importance of hybrid infrastructure.
Yep.
Maintaining a mix of on-premises GPUs for those regular steady workloads and having cloud-based GPUs on standby for those burst needs can be a very effective strategy.
So it's about having the best of both worlds, the control and security of on-premises infrastructure combined with the flexibility and scalability of the cloud.
Exactly. It's like having a reliable workhorse for those everyday tasks and a powerful racehorse ready to go when you need that extra burst of speed.
I love that analogy. And to manage this hybrid infrastructure effectively, Agarwal suggests implementing resource quotas and allocation frameworks.
He does. It's about making sure those critical workflows have priority access to those GPU resources, especially during those periods of high demand when resources are scarce. It's like having a traffic management system in place, ensuring that the most important vehicles get through those busy intersections quickly and efficiently.
So we've covered a lot of ground here, exploring practical tips for optimizing GPU compute across the entire AI lifecycle, from benchmarking and utilization tracking to right-sizing, tuning, and capacity planning. We've really delved into the nitty-gritty of maximizing the value of those GPU investments.
We have, and it's clear that efficient GPU management is no longer just a nice-to-have, it's a must-have, especially in the world of AI, where GPUs are the driving force behind so much innovation organizations that fail to optimize their GPU usage risk, falling behind wasting precious resources, and missing out on opportunities to drive real impact. And that brings us to the end of our exploration of the compute ROI flywheel. I hope you found this deep dive insightful and helpful. Remember, efficient GPU management is crucial in the world of AI, where these powerful processors are the driving force behind so much innovation. By embracing this flywheel approach, organizations can unlock the true potential of their GPUs, leading to reduced costs, increased efficiency, improved scalability, enhanced team productivity, and ultimately a much higher return on their investment.
It's a powerful message, isn't it? It's about seeing those GPUs not just as pieces of hardware, but as strategic assets that can drive real value for the organization. It's about optimizing their usage, minimizing waste, and ensuring that they're contributing to the bottom line.
Absolutely.
Now, for our listeners who are eager to explore this topic in more depth and dive into those practical tips and tools, we highly recommend checking out Jitendra Agarwal's blog post. We'll include a link in the show notes.
It's a fantastic resource, packed with insights and practical advice.
Definitely worth a read. And with that, we'll wrap up this episode of Blog Byte. Thank you for joining us, and as always, happy optimizing.